language activity for youth in your community? The VEEF program can make it happen. You could receive $850 to create your activity, and your partnering organization could get $150 to support it. Bring your idea to life. Visit pulclamvif.ca and apply today.
A candle makes no sound. Quiet in its power. Strong enough to light the way.
Hi there, this is Michael Feuerstack, and you are listening to CJUM 101.5 in Winnipeg, the place of my birth.
But love is all around, drifting on the sound waves.
VW Social Club is the campus bar brought to you by your friends at UMSU, located on the third floor of University Center. With student-friendly pricing, a unique twist on traditional pub fare, and a creatively designed beverage menu, it sure makes it easy to enjoy yourself. Whether you're in the mood to relax and mingle with friends, or kick up your heels and pull out the newest dance moves, VW Social Club has it all. Reach out to us to host your next campus social or fundraiser. We're ready to help you with your next big event. Open Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. daily. Come relax at VW Social Club today.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM. This is Manitoba in the Moment. Today we have on Outclose, who are here to talk about their band and their upcoming show. So who do we have in the studio with us for everyone listening?
I'm Kay. I've been here before.
And many times.
Many times. And I sing. That's what I do.
Woo!
Ooh. Woo! I'm Gabe. I'm the guitarist, and I co-founded the band with Kay.
I'm John, and I play the drums.
He's our drummer boy.
Woo! Always fun to have one of those.
Oh, no kidding. We looked for a while.
we did look for a while.
I remember you telling me all about that.
Yeah, it was a lot of loose sequencing. Did you guys find a drummer? And we're like, no, you guys are like few and far between.
And supply and demand problem.
It's you're all busy. I mean, including you. Mm-hmm. Like, you continue to be busy.
Mm-hmm. Very busy, especially this week. Including our show tomorrow.
Well, if you're not busy, what are you doing?
We're not busy. What are we doing?
Yeah. Not actually. That was more sarcastic, but
yeah,
more
that's true.
Rhetorical.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys, I know most of the answers to what I'm going to ask you guys, but for everybody who's listening or who doesn't know your band, how did it start out?
I can answer this one. This started off as a solo project of mine quite a few years ago. I think I started working on an album of my own back in like late 2022. I started putting some songs together, like instrumentally, and then I wanted to get a vocalist on board, but I didn't know who yet. So it was just, I had all these songs kind of in the back burner. I had like this whole like album made, and I didn't know who to get, and I was searching for vocalists for a long time, like months, and I just could not. I was like really close to giving up on finding someone. And then it was the summer of 2023. And then I was at a friend's party, and my friend there, we kind of got introduced to a couple of people, and then I met with my friend's girlfriend, who was Kay, which we knew each other in high school. We mm-hmm. both went to Dakota, mm-hmm. and we were 2 years apart, so we didn't really talk too much in high school. We just kind of knew of each other's existence, but we were talking again at the party, and we got on the topic of music, mm-hmm. and then eventually I brought up like the project I was working on, and then she expressed interest, and I was like, oh, I'm looking for vocalism. What are you interested in? She's like, yeah, sure. We heard it, and then got her to listen to some of the stuff. She liked it, and then we started working on it together, and then we put out the album, and that was like 2 years ago almost now, which is kind of crazy. And now we're playing a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's our
first show with an actual like band, because we did the backwards thing of recording a full-length concept album,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And never playing.
Played one show last year at the Tap House, which it was just the two of us, so we did kind of like an acoustic kind of thing. It wasn't really a full one. So we're doing a show at the Handsome Daughter tomorrow, and it's their first show with a real rhythm section. We got a drummer, we got a bassist. It's a full thing. So.
And we invited John to come to our show at the Tap House, like the very like. It was pretty last minute. We got offered the gig. We didn't ask for it. And it was like 2 weeks until the gig, and then we threw something together, and we invited John because, again, we wanted him as our drummer. And then literally we were like, we're rehearsing and everything the whole time. We're just like, as long as John likes it.
I thought it was really good.
Thank you.
It was great.
There we go. So before we could dive more into your first album, mm-hmm. how did everybody get into music? Like, was it something everyone was wanting to do and kind of a passion, or more so like just something you fell into?
My dad is quite musical, and quite musical meaning he never like took any lessons or played any. He's just very, my dad's always singing. My dad's always whistling and listening to music, and he's a huge, huge metalhead. So I grew up on predominantly 80s metal, a lot of heavy metal, a lot. And one of the main reasons that I was interested in the instrumentals that Gabe showed me is because, like, we talked about, like, metal inspiration and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, sick. I've always wanted to, like, do something with that because that's, like, what I was raised on. So that's kind of what got me into this sort of scene. I took lessons and stuff like that as a kid. But strangely, metal was very much my introduction to music.
Yeah. And you also teach as well?
I do. Yeah, I teach. I teach guitars and vocals, mostly vocals. And I never really planned on music like becoming my whole thing. It just kind of happened. Like, it just, I don't know. I really, again, I wasn't looking for bands to join. I wasn't going around asking people if they needed a singer. It was just Jordan, Gabe's girlfriend, kind of wingmanning almost.
Shout out to Jordan. Right now.
Love
I think
Jordan.
She is.
Basically just trying to, cause we were both like, at least I don't want to speak for you, Gabe, but I know that you also like, it was very much like a thing you did in the background that like you did, but like you weren't planning on like,
I mean, my relationship with music is pretty interesting because for a large part of my life, it wasn't, like a big thing for me at all. Like as a kid, like, you know, my parents were like, listen to music, but they weren't really like, music wasn't like their, like a big part of their identity or whatever. And, you know, like, I took, like, mandatory, like, music class or did, like, recorder in school, and I hated it. I actually really hated it. And so I was never really into music. Like, I didn't get into it or wanting to play music on my own until I was probably, like, 15 or so when I started learning guitar. So, you know, quite a bit later in life compared to most other people who were, like, do it. And it was more like, I started learning it, and then when the pandemic hit back in 2020, and I was stuck inside for a while, just like kind of doing a bunch of stuff. Then I got a lot more into it. I started getting into like trying to do my own little productions on my computer at home and making bands together. And that's how I got into like more writing and more doing. And then now it's like my main hobby. It's like my main thing that I do with my spare time is music.
Nice. So what made you decide you wanted to pick up a guitar?
It was actually Kay's boyfriend, which now fiance.
Yes.
Now fiance. we were in a friend group back in high school, and he played guitar, and I thought, and it was just like at the time, like, you know, I think this is pretty cool. I think originally I wanted to more play bass, but then I ended up picking a guitar just because it was like more available, and I ended up kind of hybridizing and playing both bass and guitar. And then it's around that time, too, around like 2019, 2020 or whatever, where I really started to get into metal and heavier rock. And wanting to, like, I want to write stuff like this. And that's just how it kind of snowballed. But it's funny, too, because I did a guitar class in, like, eighth grade when I was 13. I hated that, too. I just didn't like playing or, like, recording music or, like, the idea of doing anything with music until, like halfway through high school. And I was like, you know what? This is pretty cool.
Yeah. It takes some time to change your mind about something. especially when you're not doing it as a structured course.
Yeah. And like I said, my parents were never like full, like I think my mom knew a little bit later, was a keyboard at home, but I never took lessons and it wasn't like a big part. So like growing up, music and playing music wasn't a big part of my thing. It was more something that I just self-developed myself over time and grew my own interest in it.
Well, that's sometimes the best way to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then our last...
Yeah, I guess similarly to Kay, it was my dad who kind of got me into music when I was younger. He was a big punk guy, so he'd listen to the Ramones when he'd pick me up from school and everything, nice. Which kind of got the ball rolling on that. And then I was a big punk kid, like all throughout, like, you know, up till I was about 10 years old. And I remember it was one year that... it was my dad's friend who brought over Rock Band for New Year's. I think it was 2007.
Oh, fun.
And I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And I was really upset that, you know, we couldn't keep it because obviously he took it back after after New Year's. So it was, then my parents ended up getting me my own copy of it. I think it was the next year, which led me to playing guitar mostly at first, but then I kind of slowly started leaning towards the drums. And if you've ever played Rock Band drums, it's like drums with heavy training wheels. So it kind of gets your rudiments there and just kind of the feel of everything. And that set everything off for me. And then through that game, I've discovered so many artists, so many bands and genres and everything, which kind of led me to playing real drums and real bands and playing a whole bunch of different stuff that I do today. So
that's really cool. Funny though, I had Banana Crisis on about 2 weeks ago and they said the same thing for how they started. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Rock Band and Garage Hero.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
That's how a lot of people start off.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
I didn't grow up playing Rock Band. Like I had friends who had it, but I never like had it myself. So I feel like if I did grow up on it, I might have gotten into music earlier than I did, but who knows?
I loved Rock Band.
Yeah. It's pretty much just like the same addiction as Mario Bros, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
So
still play to this day too. It's a great game.
Yeah,
oh,
there we
John
go.
John has like, and your like Rock Band setup is like you got all the.
I've got all the gear, which I'm praying never breaks on me because that it's very expensive nowadays and hard to find.
It's
so
weirdly expensive.
It is
expensive than some like actual real instruments.
It really is. Yeah, I think a Rock Band drum kit would cost more than some of the nicer acoustics you'd see nowadays. So.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's a fun game. They can make money, right?
That's good.
Absolutely.
So now we will kind of slowly more transition into the more music aspect of your first album.
Mm-hmm.
So, Gabe, you said you wrote the music for it and you were looking for a singer.
Yes.
And Kay mentioned that it was a concept album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to dive more into that?
Yeah, when I was getting into writing more music, one of the things I wanted to do that I always had an interest in was writing concept albums, especially narrative ones where just like an overarching like story through it. I always thought that it was super cool and it would be something fun to like just kind of try one day. And then I did an album, like a solo album I did under my name that was all like a bunch of instrumental stuff. And then after that, I wanted to start on a new project. So I'm like, you know what? I think I'm just going to start doing like a concept album. I think that'll be fun. That'll that'll keep me busy for a while. It did. It did, in fact, keep me busy for a while. Yeah, I took a lot of inspiration from some prog metal albums that I really liked concept wise, like Mastodon's Crack the Sky, Opeth's Still Life.
Lots of Opeth.
They're my favorite band. I steal from them a lot. But and other prog metal albums where just like there's kind of like that overarching like story, like this connection between all the songs. I thought it would be something really fun to try out. And so it didn't initially start on that. I think I wrote one song, which was Reach was the first. Reach was the first song I wrote, which is why it kind of sounds the most generic out of everything else on the album, because I wrote it before I had the idea for it. And then after that, I wanted to write a longer song because it's something that I dabbled in, but never really like, you know, I wanted to really commit to it. So like, I'm just going to try to write a long form composition, see if I can make it not suck.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote the second song that I wrote was Cosmic Twin.
Okay.
Which is the longest on the album,
which
it's
is
10 minutes. My personal favorite.
It is also my personal favorite on the
so
album.
It's so good. That's crazy to me that's like your first, like long composition.
Yeah. Well, it's so that one I wrote. And then once I put that together, then I had to, I was like, okay, I want to release songs. This is not a single. This needs like an album encompassing it. Mm-hmm. Like this needs to be like the center of a package. Like Cosmic Twin was basically like written, and then the rest of the album was written around it. Like it's basically the centerpiece of the whole thing. That's why it's like in the middle of the album, and everything else is kind of based off of that, the vibes and textures of that song. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like the building blocks for everything else that kind of stemmed from that. That was kind of like the origin point. Reach, I kind of put it in there because I already wrote it and I liked it. And then there was another song that was like from an older riff, Hazard Lights, mm-hmm. which was like an older bass line that it had that kind of formed into its own thing. But it all kind of stemmed from that and kind of enforced and ingrained what the story would be and how it would all sound.
Yeah. So what, for listeners right now, what is the storyline of your first album there?
The story for Alternate Faces is it follows a protagonist, a female protagonist who's unnamed, and basically a bunch of aliens who take the form of like doppelgangers. Like they're kind of like
changeling-esque.
Yeah. They're not really like fully explained. It's kind of vague, but mm-hmm. these aliens kind of take the form of people. And what happens is that there's this mass panic that mm-hmm. happens like worldwide, because all of a sudden people are seeing like duplicates of themselves, and mm-hmm. they don't know what's going on, and nobody knows like their motives or whatever, and things go crazy. And then the main protagonist is also kind of feeling a lot of like the stress and fear of like everything that's going around, because no one kind of has like a sense of identity anymore. Mm-hmm. And then she tries to reconnect with her partner, who wasn't like understanding about everything. She tries to go to her parents, who are living out of the city, and she can't reconnect with them either. And the whole album is kind of like an exploration of that mm-hmm. kind of like process for her,
which was so fun to write lyrics for. Mm-hmm. Like such a fun theme of using sci-fi to talk about identity. Mm-hmm. And I feel like writing like from a lyrical standpoint, because again, like Gabe didn't come to me with any lyrics written. He said, this is the story.
I had a main idea. Yeah. Yeah, but no
lyrics.
We
kind of storyboarded it, like song by song. Like what are you?
I storyboarded it. It was kind of like storyboarded like a movie, and each song was a scene. Basically, oh, okay. That's how I was kind of
That's how I wrote the lyrics very much so. Yeah. Was
really interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was like a narrative poem that I went through, mm-hmm. and I wanted to have some kind of motifs of themes and lyrics and melodies that I could kind of circle back to reflect certain themes. And I didn't expect the whole thing to be so centered in the protagonist's identity. Like, I thought my original interpretation of it was like, okay, so when we see parts of ourselves that we don't like, what do we do? As a society, how do we react? And so it was very large scale. And you can kind of hear that in the lyrics at the beginning of the album. And then a weird turning point that I wasn't expecting to have as a turning point was Grasp.
Yeah.
Which we will be playing tomorrow. But we will not be playing today because it has a bad word in it. but Grasp was written, and that's kind of the protagonist's turning point of holding on to her own identity and not searching for what she is and who she is in others, mm-hmm. like her partner and like her parents and all these things. And during that point in my life, it was pretty topical. Yeah. And it's one of those songs that now, like, I look back at sometimes you write something.
There's a lot of moments in the album that were weirdly
kind
topical
of funny.
For both of us.
Very, very strange. There's some lyrics and themes that, like, you write it with one thing in mind, especially for a concept album. It's, mm-hmm. okay, this is what this character is going through. Mm-hmm. And then later, as the real people, you're like, oh.
It kind of, like, recontextualizes everything that you wrote before. It's like, huh.
Yeah, like literally there's like Hazard Lights is about a car accident. That is what the song is about. It leads up to a car accident.
I think before we dive into this story, which I'm very familiar with, we're going to listen to Hazard Lights, and then we can dive into that story that I hear at least once a year from you.
Well, everybody asks.
And you tell it so well every time.
Oh,
so
thank you. Well, here we go. I'll be proud.
Here is, without more introduction for it, Hazard Lights by Outclothes on 101.5 UMFM.
Red light, reach out for a hand.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM. This is Manitoba in the Moment. So we were just listening to Hazard Lights by Outclose, who are in studio with us today. And we're going to talk more about Hazard Lights, the song itself. And I believe Kay has a story from her and Gabe's experience.
Creative process.
You could call it a creative process.
It was a, yeah.
Yeah, involving Ariel?
Yeah, yeah, the Little Mermaid. So I may, to give some context here, I do the party princess thing, and I'm a children's performer and all that jazz. And the plan was Gabe was going to pick me up from a gig where I was dressed as a mermaid, okay? And this is not mermaid dress. This is bright red wig, borderline drag makeup, purple seashell bikini top, super tight bright sequin, but this is a loud outfit that that is only acceptable in one context, and that is
children's birthday
party. And that is a children's birthday party or something akin to that. And so Gabe was going to pick me up, and we were going to go to the studio. And we were already kind of laughing about the idea of recording a prog metal song with me dressed as a, you know, as a Disney character.
As Ariel.
We were like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Mm-hmm. But on the way, on the way to the recording studio, there was a big old car accident.
Yeah.
On the way to record Hazard Lights, which you would have heard the big crash sound effect at the end. The whole song leads up to a car accident. And so we got to experience that, which was really cool.
Yes, we wrote about the car accident before it happened.
And then I rewrote some stuff. And we actually rehashed it after it. But yeah, the car accident itself was kind of wild. It was on, what street was it on? Was it Smith?
It was downtown.
It was downtown near the
Smith and St. Mary.
I think it was yeah. So big crash. The car start smoking immediately. The bottom part of the seatbelt caught me, but the top didn't, so I folded it in half and smacked my head. But the wig kind of helped because it was a little cushiony, which was nice. Mm-hmm. But the car starts smoking. We get out of the car. We're in downtown Winnipeg in the middle of the day on a weekend in broad daylight, and everyone's like, Is that
Ariel, dude?
Is that a mermaid? And I had some, because, you know, when there's a car accident, people stop and stare, which is a weird thing that people do. Mm-hmm. But when there's a car accident and, a mermaid emerges.
to be fair, it was not a demure accident, so.
Yeah, this was quite the accident. This was quite the accident. It's really wonderful that people are okay.
Yeah.
From it. To my knowledge, I was the most injured. Which wasn't horrible. I just had to take some time off of work, and I got a minor concussion, and I, you know, injured my back. But it was fine. generally speaking, everything was fine. But yeah, we were all kind of dazed in shock on the side of the road, and the cop came up to me and was like, "All right, can I take your statement? I've never had a statement from a mermaid before." And I was like, "All right." and he's like, "Where's your address? Is it somewhere under the sea?" And it's like, and I was like, "Ah, oh, it's." And I'm concussed. I don't remember.
Yeah.
So he's like, it's fine. It's somewhere over the blah, blah, blah. And he keeps making jokes. And he's like, and what's your name? And I'm like, it's, Kayla. And he's like so distracted by the mermaid costume that he missed the obvious signs that I couldn't spell my name or remember my address. So my coworker, who also happened to be dressed as a mermaid, picks me up and, And that's
two mermaids on scene.
Yeah, so that was the recording session of Hazard Lights that could have been, that never was.
And then we delayed recording the album for obvious reasons for a little bit.
For a little bit, and then
yeah,
but yeah, it was kind of, you know what, meta.
It is very meta. This is one of the moments where, you know, the lyrics ended up kind of reflecting reality unintentionally.
It was kind of funny. You know, I just when you're recording vocals for concept album, you kind of have to act a little bit, right? And I just like to think of it as method acting. I was just so committed to the project.
Yeah. And that was also, I think, the first time I ever met you. That was like one of the first.
That was fresh at that point. Yeah. That was super fresh.
One of the.
That was like didn't 2 weeks after it happened.
Talked to her maybe once or twice, and she just like told me.
She was
everything.
Like, "How was your summer? I got this." Well, it was. It came up organically. It wasn't like what.
You were like,
I went on about it.
My back hurts, and I was like, "You okay?"
And I was like, "Yeah, I got into it." And she's like, "Oh my god, it was a car accident. Oh no! Like, can I ask what happened?" I was like, "Sure."
One of the first stories you ever told me.
Yeah, it makes an impression. It sticks.
It does make an impression.
It sticks. Yeah. But I like the song. The song's good, too. Mm-hmm.
Song's good. It became our hit somehow.
Yeah. We made a music video. And
yeah, it kind of sounds like a Simon Call a little bit.
Yeah.
Too. Mm-hmm. So I think that, I feel like that just draws people in whenever it's kind of siren-y, especially with mermaids involved now.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true. I didn't think about that either.
Yeah, that's another connection.
We might have to dress up as Ariel.
Perfect. Oh, dude.
Punk Ariel.
Yeah, we should work out costumes for it.
Oh, absolutely.
We should all, like, dress, I don't know.
All dressed as Ariel?
Yeah. All dressed as Ariel.
I don't even want to see that.
Workshop.
Have we ever do a Halloween gig?
I'd love to. I'll do it.
Everybody Ariel.
Could be the crab. Could be Sebastian. Or is that the crab's name? The lobster?
Sebastian.
Yeah. That's it. I'll be Sebastian.
I guess it could be Ursula.
There we go. Yeah,
there we go.
Outclosed Little Mermaid themed night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
There we go. So you have a new release out.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about it, maybe?
No! Correct. We did. Yeah. We released a double single back in June, so last month, about a month ago.
Yes, very
It was
recently.
Bright, two songs, Bright and Maybe, Maybe Not. So it was our first new release since we put out our album Alternate Faces, which was way back in 2024. It's been a while.
Mm. And the first release that John helped write on.
Yes, it was the first release with actual drums, because on Alternate Faces it was all like MIDI, it was all programmed by me. And this one we actually went to a real studio. We went to Studio 23 and we recorded the real drums and a bunch of other real stuff, and it was a really fun day of recording stuff. And yeah, those songs are out. We're playing both of them at the Handsome Daughter tomorrow. We're really proud of how they turned out.
Yeah, you should be. It's a very impressive thing to put music out, just in general. But also, you guys have a very intense process of writing your music, from everything I've heard from somebody over to my left. <He's giggling. laughs> So with this EP, was it also kind of a concept album, or
Gabe said no. I said we should write another concept album, and he said no. And I said, but I have an idea, and he said, later. I'm done.
I said, we'll take a break and do
and
work.
I said, fine. So no.
I am open to doing a concept album again in the future, but I think for this next release and this next album that we're working on is like, it is an album. It was a long time in the process, because for a while we were kind of waiting to get, you know, we wanted to play more shows, and so we were kind of waiting to get our rhythm section and our drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, John drums for Solaire, and Kay played a couple shows with Solaire last year, so they knew each other, and she's like, oh, you want to drum? And then it was a long time before he was free enough, because he was in like a million bands at one point.
I was waiting. I was just...
We were waiting for our chance to pounce. And then when the chance came up, we're like, we grabbed him. Put a sack over his head and took him in our van. And
I think it was Kay who sent me a meme that she made of Uncle Sam. We want you to drum for us soon.
Yeah.
And now we got him, and we're doing more
so
for
worked.
It.
Yeah.
And we were working on, and we wanted to work more on this next album. But then Kay is going to Montreal.
I am.
Sad times.
Oh, okay.
Very sad times.
Congratulations, Kay, for getting into school.
But congrats.
But she's going to be gone for a year. And so originally what I wanted to do is I wanted to work more and like write and even release this new album like sometime later this year. But then we found out like she's going to Montreal. I was like, well, we're not going to have time to get the album done to how we would want it. So we'll mm-hmm. take two songs that we know that are done, record those, release those, get a show out, mm-hmm. and just like kind of like try to cram everything that we can before she leaves.
Yeah.
And then we can and then we can work on writing while she's in Montreal. We can do like remote writing sessions,
yeah,
or
exactly.
whatever.
I'm excited to do a ton of writing actually remotely.
Yeah.
We have some demos of ideas and stuff like on the album, and recording these songs has given us more ideas and kind of helped shape the direction of where we want the album to go. Mm. So I'm quite excited to write and like to take our time to write.
I mean, that definitely sounds like you guys need it.
Mm. Okay.
Sounds like Gabe has been dragged through the mud a little bit with the first album.
You wrote the first album, and like Gabe, like, and I kind of brag about Gabe's writing constantly.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Especially for someone like you said, like you've had no formal training.
No, I am fully self-taught in guitar, everything.
And it's wild. Just to listen to the, and he'll just sit down and be like, yeah. Like,
just, I did that.
Here we go, and I'm like, okay. So, I don't know. It's a lot of like, because you'll write something, you're very picky with what you write.
I am very picky.
Very, very picky. So it's a lot of reworking and a lot of, so.
That's part of the reason why it's been taking so long to get something for some new stuff for Outclothes, is especially since we put Alternate Faces out. I've been, now that we like have music and we have like a fan base mm-hmm. out there. Right, it's become more like I am so much more conscious of the music that we're writing and the stuff that I want. Like, it's no longer just like, oh, I could just kind of write whatever and just like put it out as like something no one knows,
yeah.
no one's going to hear it. You know, now it's just like, okay, well, I want to write something that I like that I think is going to be better than what we did before. And
yeah.
like, it's got to exceed
yeah.
my expectations, which will like constantly be growing.
Yeah.
And then like fit this, like whatever I want, this new style. And that's something that I've been struggling with when it comes to writing for the new
album.
We came up with a couple of them. Like the two songs we put out, the ones that I was most happy with
mm-hmm.
right beforehand. And then now it's like, okay, well now that we got those out, we have to come up with like eight more that are on that quality that can fit for the album. You know, it's a lot of expectation all of a sudden when like I didn't have it before.
Yeah, it's a big change to go from 0 to 100.
Yeah,
it's weird. There's nothing like scarier than somebody coming up and going like, oh, I listened to your music. It's like, yeah. Oh, did you? Okay. I know I'm supposed to say thank you, but yeah. I don't want to.
Well,
yeah.
I think we're about to have a couple more people listen to your music.
Oh, great.
Right now.
Great.
So we're gonna play I think it's the first one on your new EP, Bright.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we will talk more about your new release, and you have a show tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're going to get more into that in a moment. So here is Bright by Outclothes on 101.5 UMFM.
Located on the third floor of AMSU University Center, Degrees Diner is more than just a place to grab a meal. Our cozy corner on campus offers an inviting atmosphere where good food meets great company. Whether you're enjoying the sunshine on our patio, indulging in freshly prepared dishes, or treating yourself to our delicious baked goods and refreshing drinks, we've got you covered. Be sure to join us for our happy hour from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. and don't miss our locally roasted coffee, the perfect pick-me-up for your day. Vegetarian and vegan options are always available, and our friendly staff is ready to make your dining experience memorable. Open from 7:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Make Degrees Diner your destination today.
Black Market Provisions is a Winnipeg store like no other. They offer delicious, homemade, ready-to-eat food, giftware, and all-around cute and rad things you need to have in your home. Their curated collection ranges from housewares, pantry provisions, greeting cards, trinkets and treasures, and homemade food options ranging from soups and salads to cookies and ice cream. Bottom line is, they love food, feeding people, and finding fun things to share with folks. Owned by couple Angela and Alana, Black Market Provisions is located at 550 Osborne Street. You can order online for next day pickup or delivery from Tuesday to Saturday. Visit their website at blackmarketwpg.ca to place an order online today.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM. This is Manitoba in the Moment. You just heard Bright by Outclose, which is their newest release, and we also have them here in the studio, so we're gonna dive more into this new EP that you guys put out about a month ago. So this one, you have your lovely drummer who's here today,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Playing on.
We have John.
Yes.
John, the guy that we got on, like, it was earlier this year. We were finally playing with him.
John the guy that
I like
we
that.
Got
I hope
on.
People use that.
John the guy.
John the guy we got on.
John's awesome. Like, as someone.
John's great. We love John.
As someone who wrote for years doing just, like, MIDI drums and, like, kind of, like, programming it myself, having someone like John where it's, like, they not only can, like, you know, play to the structure of it, but, like, having someone else just, like, take your idea and then they add their own thing to it, like, it completely transforms it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it becomes a totally different thing. Like, when you were doing the demo for when we were going to shoot the music video, mm-hmm. for Bright, and then, like, you first, like, gave it back to me and I heard, like, all the different changes, and it's like it makes the structure make more sense having, like, someone with, like, real drums, like, kind of and just, like, the way they do it and, like, everything, it flows better. And it becomes like a brand new song.
Yeah, it fills in those holes that.
Oh yeah, it,
like,
gave it so much more life. Mm-hmm. And when we were recording the music video, like, it was, there's all these shots of John playing the drums.
I
to
know
it.
It's like it's
and
memorable.
It's Gabe and I standing behind the camera, and, like, what you can't is us, like, talking behind him. I was like, oh my god, look at him. He did such a good job.
And I was like, oh, John and I in the studio watching you do the vocals.
No.
And they were just like, whoa.
we all looked pretty dapper that day, I would say.
We did look pretty dapper. Well, John rolled up with a new haircut. Like, John immediately.
Oh, yeah. Fresh cut, fresh studio. Looked them, like, if you
stepped out of the car and
like if you watch the music video on YouTube, you'll see it. He looks super. He mobbed all of us. Crazy.
I think it was when I went from looking like a caveman at rehearsal the day before, and I found out we had to wear these suits for the music video, and I was like, oh, I better, like, look the part, you know?
And he did.
Yeah.
Boy, he did look the part.
So, you guys, when we were playing the song, you mentioned an audition process that you made John go through.
We didn't really audition.
Auditioned?
I think so.
It was like...
We knew he was good, and so we just wanted him to kind of play. Well, like, we did one or two rehearsals where you kind of, like, we played through some of our old songs and...
It was more we were auditioning ourselves for John, I would say. Like,
I
think it was more just being like, do you want to play with us? Do you want to be our friend and play with us and make music with us? Like, that was more of what it was. Rather than, let's see if this guy's up to snub. Yeah. It was like,
we know this guy. Like, he's got so much more experience, like, playing shows than we do. It's just kind of like, do we deserve this guy to play with us?
Yeah.
You know? Well, I was nervous at first because I know you guys, like, listen to Tool. That's kind of all I knew about you guys, like, before, like, your music history before, and I'm like, am I gonna play Tool? And I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do this. Like,
well, it looks like it worked out.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah,
no, it worked out beautifully. Like, we could not ask for a better drummer.
Fantastic.
Like, it's just like he fits in so perfectly, and the stuff that he was adding is like, yeah, great. And I don't have to write stupid program drums anymore. I'm very happy about that.
And it's also nice, like, because I feel like when you're writing together in particular, if you don't have like synergy as people, it's just awkward and you feel weird bringing up ideas and you don't want to, like, it does, it's just everything's forced. And I feel like we all just happen to get along, like, as people too.
Oh yeah, it was just like instant.
It was great. It was great fun, especially the big long recording day where we recorded Brighton maybe not. That was a fun day.
Yeah, we did the two songs in one day. It was like, I think we were there for like 10 or 11 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Shout out to Kaylin for that.
Yes.
Yeah,
shout out to Kaylin from Seven String, who was an engineer at Studio 23. He was there for that long day, and we recorded the drums, the vocals. We reamped guitars for Bright. We recorded acoustic. I think we did some other things as
well.
Didn't
you do bass there?
I'd recorded bass for maybe Not as well. Maybe Not was a really fun process because John was recording drums, and at this point I never heard like a proper vocal demo. Like, Kay had the lyrics and the vocals, but I never like heard anything beyond my own instrumental demo of it. I never heard John, like, he was still like pretty fresh with the song, so he didn't quite know everything. And so we're on the day there, and Kay was laying down some scratch vocals while I was playing a fretless bass, and John was recording the drums, and we were kind of recording all of that at once. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that we were hearing the song, like, in its, like, final form.
Yeah, it was really cool. We recorded it live playing together.
Okay.
Yeah. With just the guitars that were pre-recorded, but the rhythm and vocals we were kind of doing all at once. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, it was, like I said before, with how the drums completely transform everything, just the energy of having everyone playing the song live. Yeah. Especially, like I said, as someone who was used to, you know, doing things one at a time in their bedroom with, like, programmed drums and, like, programmed, like, fake amps and, and everything else, is a completely different experience that you just cannot match.
Yeah. There's something just about live music that you can't capture with a MIDI or
No. Especially, like, that track in particular is it relies so heavily on the dynamics and it's very, I don't know, it grows and shrinks quite a bit.
It went from a track that was just kind of like an extra one. I was like, this will be cool, to like, I think it's all of our favorite.
It's my favorite.
Well, I think we'll dive into that and then we can talk more about your recording day a little bit.
Sweet.
So here is Maybe Maybe Not by Outclothes on 101.5 UMFM. You can never get me ever thinking that. You can never get me ever thinking that. I'm in you. You can never get me ever thinking that. You can never get me ever thinking that. I'm in you. I'm in you.
I'm thinking of that, it's been in a minute.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM, and this is Manitoba in the Moment. You just heard Bright by Out Close, who are here in the studio, which you should know because we're at the end of the show. And if you haven't been following along, I don't really know what you've been doing.
Yeah.
So you just released a double, well, I guess it's just an EP, but you have two singles. Mm-hmm.
I think an EP is supposed to be like three songs or more, or whatever.
I think it's more time-wise than like song. Yeah.
I've been calling it a single. I guess you can call it an EP if you want to get this. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. Single, double, double single.
Whatever.
EP.
There's two of them. Yeah.
There's two songs.
Yeah.
Most recent out.
Mm-hmm.
So you had your first live session with this collection here.
Yes.
Go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you had John play for. Both songs?
Yeah, both
I'm
songs
assuming.
Recorded, yes. It was all recorded. You know, the first time we were really in a real studio recording everything, which was really nice. Made us feel professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little bit.
Very nice kit, too. That was a good kit that I
was a very
nice
kit. Yeah. You're going to play it tomorrow.
You're going to play it tomorrow.
Oh, I will.
You're
going to
play that very same kit tomorrow.
We're playing our second show at the Handsome Daughter.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're going to get to hear that glorious, glorious double kick session.
And two whole floor toms.
And two whole floor toms. A lot of toms.
So, John, what was it like to kind of join the band?
It was kind of funny the way it happened, because it was when we were doing the music video that we were kind of taking these pictures and like different like variations of like who's in them, and then at one point it was band members only, so we were taking this picture up on this ledge or whatever by the train tracks or whatever, so I was about to let myself off, and then I think it was Gabe who said nope, you're staying. I'm like, I'm with the band now? Am I in this? Is this happening? So
I thought we made it clear before then.
I thought we did too.
Maybe I didn't like should have probably read between the lines. I assumed it was like a session thing at first, but then I'm just gonna be, I guess, an official member. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
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 Very glad we got him.
Yeah, too late to say no now. I guess.
Yeah.
Already on the radio.
Yeah.
Now it's official. You can't do it now. You can't drop out now.
You have to slowly wheel your chair out the door.
I'll be gone for a year. You'll get a break. It'll be fine.
Yeah, and we're playing our show. And then it's going to be our only show this year because Kay is leaving from Montreal for school.
Mm-hmm.
She is. She's going into
music therapy.
Woo.
Another thing that I never anticipated music related, didn't expect to do that, but here I am doing that.
Go.
Yeah.
And then you also had a change to your lineup as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So originally our bill, we were playing with Harm and Elsewhere for the show tomorrow. And then Elsewhere, like a few days ago, had to drop because their drummer was in an accident. And so.
Not a car accident.
Oh, boy.
Not a car accident, but hope he gets better soon.
Drummers really are in short supply.
They really are. So while he was recovering, we had a big scramble to try and find someone to fill us up, but we got Paradise on Fire.
Who are so good.
They are so good. I'm so excited.
We wanted to play with them anyways. So.
Yeah, so.
Win-win.
Oh, yeah.
So tomorrow, Paradise on Fire, Harm. And then us, Out Close. So it's going to be a fun show. And like I said, it's going to be the only show before we go on hiatus for about a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully when we're back from hiatus, we'll have a full album out. And we'll have a lot of shows planned for like late next year. But until then, this is your shot.
Mm-hmm. So you have your concept album out, Alternative Faces, for people to listen to.
Yeah.
And if you guys want the whole story, you can find this episode of the show on umfm.com under Manitoba in the Moment, and you can rewind to Dave and Kay explaining the whole story for you there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have your new release, Bright, and maybe Not. So you can find those on Spotify. Do you have them?
We are
Apple
on
Music?
Like
Apple
every,
Music,
every
Bandcamp.
We're on Bandcamp as well.
Groove Shark. Yeah.
Probably, I don't know.
Yeah.
And SoundCloud.
I'm guessing Bandcamp is probably the best to support
the
band.
Yes, if you do want to support. We don't have any merch out right now. We haven't had time to really get that together. But if you do want to support us, you can get our music on Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. It supports better than two streams on Spotify or whatever.
Yeah, and then you guys can also maybe have merch.
We would like to at some point. Hey, we have a bright, shiny new logo created by Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Jordan again.
Shout out once again, yes, Jordan.
It's a really cool logo, too.
It's a great logo. Really, yeah, good. And she also did the album art for Alternate Faces. So it's nice kind of having like the same artist doing it, which is and obviously somebody so close to the band, so it's great. Yeah, we want to get that logo out on things. Yeah. So
So eventually that'll happen. On Bandcamp, there's also on every other streaming service, but Bandcamp again is where you can support musicians the most because it goes directly to them. And then Outclose has their show at the Handsome Daughter tomorrow with
Harm and
Paradise on Fire.
Paradise on Fire.
So that's tomorrow. So if you guys want something fun to go and do on a Wednesday evening, go to the Handsome Daughter and have a great time there. So thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks for having us, Lucy.
Of course. And tune in next week. We're just going to have a regular show, and then I think that might be second last show before I'm gone. I know. So scary.
Lucy's going to Portugal.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm going to be gone for a month, so don't you guys worry about missing the radio show. But so next week, regular show, and tune in next week. So you've been listening to Manitoba in the Moment.
You're listening to CJUM 101.5 FM, broadcasting from the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg.
Cuando yo era niño de ti me enamoré y desde este momento en ti yo solo pensé. Crecía, crecía pensando en este día que tú conmigo vendrías a vivir la vida mía. Pero después te fuiste a otro país, bebé, y yo no sabía ni a dónde escribir. Ahora juntos de nuevo no me dejes así con el corazón ardiendo. No me dejes, mami, yo quiero amor pa' mí, amor pa' mí. Todo lo que yo quiero es amor pa' mí. Amor pa' ti, mami, amor pa' ti. Todo lo que yo tengo es amor pa' ti. Amor pa' mí, amor pa' mí. Todo lo que yo quiero es amor pa' mí. Amor pa' ti, mami, amor pa' ti. Todo lo que yo tengo es amor pa' ti. Yo voy libre corazón, el sargento viene pregonando. Libre corazón, boom, te lo digo, mami. Libre corazón y todo el mundo tiene que ir. Libre corazón para acabar con el odio. Libre corazón pa' que tiren armas al fuego. Libre corazón, boom, te lo digo, mami. Libre corazón, el sargento viene pregonando. Libre corazón, yo ya sé lo que digo, te lo tienes bien sabido. El nombre a libertad. Mata a su hermano, el derecho de ser humano es de ser un gusano, que por más pájaro que él tendrá que ser comido. Yo ya voy, yo ya sé, yo ya quiero amor pa' mí, amor pa' mí. Todo lo que yo quiero es amor pa' mí. Amor pa' ti, mami, amor pa' ti. Todo lo que yo tengo es amor pa' ti. Amor pa' mí, amor pa' mí. Todo lo que yo quiero es amor pa' mí. Amor pa' ti, mami, amor pa' ti.
Chop.